This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. It was reported in January that Malaysia might introduce a registry for child sex offenders 9 years after the idea was initially mooted. DSP Tan Gee Soon from the Sexual, Women and Child Investigation Division of the Royal Malaysia Police is in the studio with me to explain how why we need a registry, if we do at all, and how one might work in our country. Can we start off with this, with a brief introduction of the work that you do?
Hello. I will just start off with the history of D11. Okay, D11, actually, at that time, we were called Sexual Investigation Unit. That is way back in 1986. Because PDRM has established this unit based on the criticism of how police handle the sexual crime cases. Because at that time, most of the investigating officers were all the male officers. But then by 2007, we detached from D9B unit to, as present now, Sexual, Women and Child Investigation Division, D11.
What are the specific roles and responsibilities of D11?
Actually, I wish to tell you that since 2008, we have all representatives of D11 officers in all over our country. That means at all contingent, district level also, we have, you see. So the function of D11, basically we are responsible for handling the investigation of rape, attempted rape, outrage of modesty, unnatural sexual act like carnal intercourse and domestic violence, abandoned baby, maid abuse, child abuse, and at the same time we are monitoring of the cases involving missing children. So other than the investigation, we also provide emotional support, counseling and other referrals to victims. Since 2003, we established a child interview center, actually to provide a child-friendly place for the child victim or a vulnerable victim and child witnesses so that they can tell their stories. At the same time, also, I mean, if you're in child interview center, victim will be video recording. At the same time, we also involve actively in national policy making and then with the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry. And then we also mark operation against syndicates involving in gang rape. Also, we provide educational crime prevention program to public, school, children. Also, we work very closely with community groups, governmental organizations and non-governmental organizations to spread awareness regarding sexual assault, child abuse and domestic violence.
Earlier you said that it was formed partly in response to criticism that there was too many male police officer representation handling something so sensitive and fairly gender specific. So right now, is it fair to say that the bulk of D11 officers are women?
Yeah. Now, actually, in all states, we call it contingent, in all states and district level, we have D11 lady officer. But then the place where they don't have D11 officer, the male officer will open up the investigation paper, but statement, recording or statement of the victim will be done by a lady officer.
And was this something that was always of personal interest to you? I mean, as a police officer, when you began working, when you thought, okay, I want to work in this field, was this the area that you wanted to go into?
Oh, you see, when I joined the force, we don't have any idea about which division we will go to. You see, but then as we go in, when you are transferred to this division, definitely you put your heart in it. That's why I'm here now. You see, actually, I joined the D11 since last April, but earlier, way back 10 years ago, I was in Para headquarters, so I'm handling all sexual crimes also.
In your opinion, do we need a registry for child sex offenders in Malaysia? I would assume in the line of work that you do, unfortunately, you would see a fair number of these cases.
Yeah. If you talk about sex offender registry, actually, I think we need to know what is sex offender registry. So basically, it's a database which contains the information of convicted sex offender. And then if you look at the model, like for example, Australia, USA and United Kingdom, even Canada, is all maintained and accessed by law enforcement. So the purpose is to monitor and track sex offenders in the community. So some of the information in this registry make available to the public, but it depends. Depends on the law, you see, the law provided.
Because I would assume that one of the things that's very important about the registry is you don't necessarily want to hire somebody who is a child sex offender to work in a school or a hospital in that sort of setting. Mm-hmm. And in order to avoid that, it would have to be available to the public, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so that you can make those employment choices. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Actually, a lot of argument, even in the foreign countries, there are a lot of argument regarding whether it can be made available to the public, because there are criticisms saying that it will infringe on the privacy, the right of the sex offender. But if you ask me, you have to balance up the collective safety, public security, or the privacy rights of the sex offender. So to me, definitely there are certain countries, they will make it available to the public, but certain countries, you need to apply. But like, for example, in USA, the law enforcement have to make the notification to all the public community members to protect the community, you see?
Right now in Malaysia, what happens to convicted child sex offenders? After prison, there's no registry, so they just continue life as per normal.
So at present, you see, we don't have a sex offender registry. What we have is we keep the criminal record of the sex offender that together with other criminals, you see. So this record of the criminal is maintained by our central criminal registry in our headquarters, Bukit Aman. What do you mean by life after?
Well, I mean, so right now, once they are, after they're convicted, they serve their time.
Mm-mm.
And once prison time is over, what happens after that?
They are free to go anywhere.
And is there a rehabilitation that happens? Or is that within prison?
There is no rehabilitation.
So it's treated in much the same way as any other crime?
Yep.
Okay. If we did have a registry in Malaysia, we talked about the different countries earlier and how it differs from place to place. In your view, ideally speaking, would you want to see a registry made relatively public here in Malaysia, or would you say that it should be kind of confidential?
I think the purpose of sex offender registry is to ensure public safety. So I would say an informed public, definitely it will be a safe public. So what we see now, you see the sex crime normally involve children, like in Malaysia under the age of 18, you see. So I think some of the institutions, especially those institutions where you have children, you work with children, like some of the sports club or whatever, I think you have to notify them who are the sex offenders in this community, you see.
We are speaking about the possibility of a child sex offenders registry today. I'm joined by DSP Tan Gee Soon from D11, the Sexual Women and Child Investigation Division in the Royal Malaysia Police. And coming up, we'll find out a little bit more about whether this would overlap with the criminal registry and how that works, as well as the role of the public in preventing sexual crimes against children. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, DSP Tan Gee Soon from D11, the Sexual Women and Child Investigation Division of the Royal Malaysia Police. And we're talking about child sex offenders today. And specifically the idea that we might need a registry in our country and how that would come about. Last year, the IGP said a sex offenders registry is redundant, as it would overlap with the criminal registry. How does that work?
I think my IGP saying that is redundant, because basically we have a criminal registry as I've told you just now, maintained by the Central Criminal Registry, which holds the information of individuals who commit crimes in Malaysia and Singapore. So types of criminal conviction under this Act is all listed down in the first schedule. So definitely you have about the sexual offences, it is listed under the first schedule, but then there are limitations of the Act. The offender has no obligation to notify the police any changes of his personal information, such as the current address or alternative address, type of employment, maybe an address, also identifying mark like tattoos, scars on their body, current photograph, current vehicle, which the summary of the offence. So this is the limitation to say no obligation to report in person.
If that were changed, would it be sufficient? I mean, because the argument here is that you can just put sexual offenders within this criminal registry and it should work. So if they were to kind of address the concerns that you just raised of, you know, not notifying when there's a change of personal information and so on, if that were amended, then would it cover the need for a sexual offenders registry, in your opinion?
You are trying to say that, okay, even if they say we amend the law to make it an obligation for the sex offender to notify
when
the police
moved or
when they move, or whether it will really protect the public. Is it what you are trying to say?
Well, I'm also asking whether that would be enough. I mean, if we did that, then would we still need a separate registry, or would one registry be sufficient?
I think we need a separate sex offender registry, because you want our police in the local community to monitor the sex offender, because some of the high-risk sex offender, you need close supervision. So I think there's a need to really have this sex offender registry.
And if we did have a system where previous criminals, past criminals, are under obligation to report these things to the police, then your earlier question back to me is one I would like to pose back to you now.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be enough? You know, would that be enough protection for a community? Or is it still just...
So under this criminal registry, what we have now is, okay, once you serve your sentence, basically it's just a record. So later on, maybe you change your address, you move somewhere else or whatever, and then we don't have the recent photograph of the criminal. But whereas if for the sex offender registry, what the foreign country they are doing now is you have the recent photograph. Every 1 year, they have to come back and report and let you take the photograph, fingerprints, and also to let the police really have a good look at you. So you can put in the detail, maybe you have already met an accident, you have some scars, you're limping or whatever, then the police officer have to put it into the sex offender registry.
So that you are recognizable.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. By definition, any sexual relationship involving children is illegal. Consent can only be given once you pass the age of consent, obviously. What happens when both individuals are below 18 years old?
You see, in our law state that the age of consent for sexual intercourse is 16 for the girls. So most of the time, if the girl is 16, even the boyfriend is 17, 18 or so, that also is considered rape. But basically, we don't have a law to protect the male. So under the age of 18, if both are above age of 16, if the consensual sexual intercourse, that would be no problem. But if the girl is under the age of 16, that would be statutory rape.
And if the boy is under the age of 16?
Also.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so how severe would you say is the problem of sex crimes involving children here in our country?
I'm not going to say whether it is prevalence or not, because to me, every sexual crime is severe. Because sexual crime is struck at the very core of human spirits, you see. If the victim of sexual crime, their life is just shattered. It disrupts their families also, and then the society is so afraid. But basically, if you look at the statistic, let's say, for the rape cases involve children under 18, because our law said children is under 18, 77% of the rape cases is against children. For the year 2014 and 2015 is 76%. So even if for sodomy cases also is 66% within children.
Is that, I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of, or the severity of child sexual abuse, but is that also because when it comes to children, they might have someone else to report it for them, whereas if you're, whereas women or men who are raped might be afraid to come forward even as adults? Might, you know, the incidence or prevalence of rape overall be underreported?
Especially children, you see, when it comes to sex crime, because most of the victims, they feel shame, they feel that people will blame them for their meanness for the sex victim, especially for incest. Incest is definitely difficult. Most are underreported because, you see, most of the time, the perpetrators are the breadwinner of the family, you see.
There has also been a 300% increase in internet-related rape crimes, which is a relatively new thing between 2010 and 2015. What would explain this dramatic rise? Because that is a huge increase.
There's no increase. For rape, there's a decline. But for
in this case, it's
domestic violence, yes.
Okay.
It's an increase. But for sexual crime, especially rape, it's just decreased.
But in this number particularly relates to internet-related rape crimes. Is that something that you've been seeing a lot more of?
Pardon?
Internet-related?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Internet-related crime, you see. Recently, actually, we have certain information from overseas about sexual grooming of the child, you see. But then, at the same time, what we see now, the trend is, because most of the, our young children here, our youth, they are using a lot of time, they are using internet or either handphone or whatever. And then they came to know some of the strangers through the handphone, especially like social media, WeChat. And then from then, they don't really know the offenders. So, but then they agree to go out with them, and then the chances of they being sexually abused is there.
Is it important, in your opinion, that we work towards rehabilitating sex offenders?
That is my opinion, you see. I think for the rehabilitation, it is quite difficult to rehabilitate them. Unless they are just a low risk. But for high-risk sex offender, you could see the chances of re-offense is there.
Having said that, if we reintroduce sex offenders to society, is it fair to ostracize them then? Because if you have them on a public registry, if people know their past, if people are aware of what they've done, and they might be truly sorry, you know, they might have no intention whatsoever, hopefully, of doing this again, or they might be working towards, you know, really rehabilitating themselves. Mm-hmm. How do we prevent discrimination then? Because then everyone will just think, oh, this person's a child sex offender, and I won't hire him or her. I won't, you know, socialize with him or her.
Yes, exactly. Okay, definitely you see, somehow we have to balance the public perception. When you are fear of something, there is a lot of misconception, you see. But then, I think education, I mean the awareness, you have to raise the awareness. I mean, to me, it is, we have to educate the public also. At the same time, they have to know their rights, you see. Maybe some of them, they really want to rehabilitate, they really want to become good, you see. But then the problem is, these are a lot of views, aspects that have to be discussed when you really want to set up the sex offender registry. I mean, especially to notify the public about the sex offender.
What role does the public have in helping to prevent sexual crimes against children?
Public role?
As a whole, yes. What role does the public have?
For rehabilitations, I think definitely somehow you have to try to help them in a sense. Like if, let's say, everybody is trying to, don't want to provide him with employment, or if you don't try to socialize with them also, there are chances that they will re-offend again, you see. But when it comes to sex offender, it is also a lot of controversial arguments, you see. So people are fear of them. People are fear of them, especially those prey on children, you see. So I think we yet to discuss on the public role on that play.
What advice do you have for parents to to communicate better with their children and to be watchful of this threat of sexual abuse?
I think most of the time, you see, actually, when it comes to sex crime against children, actually, if you look at our statistic or whatever, many boys and girls, actually, they are sexually abused before they reach 18 years old. But then, because our society is, we tend to not talk about it. We are not comfortable in talking about it. So actually, how you can help to prevent child sexual abuse in the sense that at first is you must educate ourselves, our children, and how to see the warning sign. At the same time also, you will never think that, okay, this thing won't happen to us, even if you think it's a very safe environment in the school or whatever. You must always think. Actually, you try to look at the warning sign, the withdrawing system, the change of appetite, and then the sudden swing of mood, all these things. Then maybe you can help. And then and you have to talk honestly and openly with our children about our bodies, about personal boundaries, all these things.
And to conclude, besides working towards a registry, hopefully, what else is D11 doing in order to curb sex crimes? You know, what are you what are you hopeful of doing?
Actually, we conduct a lot of, awareness campaign. You see, and for a crime to happen, definitely you have this, you must have the opportunity, the ability, and then the desire. Definitely desire is the criminal, and then you must have a target, you see. So, normally the girls and children are soft targets. So, for target hardening, definitely we conduct campaign to teach the children, campaign in school to teach the teachers how to look for the warning sign, and at the same time also, like for PDRM, we have this community policy, you see, so to encourage public to discuss with the police and then talk about whatever warning sign or any situations or any personals which they are very uncomfortable, and then they suspected some things might have happened, and then encouraged them to put report to the police.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today. I've been speaking with DSP Tan Gee Soon from D11, the Sexual Women and Child Investigation Division of the Royal Malaysia Police, and we've been discussing child sex offenders today and the need for a registry. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.